Okay. Always find the technology sometimes a little challenging, learning a lot of things as we try to provide for that. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus, and I want to talk to you about his face, some things about really what we've learned in the servant songs, but with great application in his life. You know, faces can tell us things. Now, there are some people that are deceptive, and they can act, and you think you see something, and you don't. But this morning, I want to talk about the face of Jesus, of what people saw when they worked with him and dealt with him. And I hope it's encouraging to you. There will be a lot of references to some of the servant songs we've already studied, and then a lot of material from the life of Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about determination. I've set my face like a flint. My brethren, we need determination. Determination is a very powerful thing when it's found in God, when it's found in His Word. Have you ever seen somebody with determination? I love some of the old NFL films, and there was the Mike Ditka, I think, as a linebacker. No, he's a linebacker. There's another guy, Buckus, I think, from Chicago. And you'd see his eyes. They'd show pictures of him and his eyes when a play is getting ready to start, and you could see determination. If he was a running back, I'd be kind of fearful of that. Like, this guy wants to get me. But you know, that's sports teams, that's other things. Determination is very important in adversity. But when you have real determination, it means you have a set of priorities. It means that you will determine the use of your time and resources. It can be seen in what somebody has time for. Somebody's determined about something and they're given an opportunity to do what they're determined to do. Oh man, they'll eat that up. There's no problem with time with a determined person. But also, where determination is really seen is when there's adversity. You know, you see really great sports teams and they're about to go up against some mighty opponent, they'll say, "Bring it on." You know, I hope that may be arrogance in their cases, but there's the case when you're serving God and you got God on your side. Okay, we can handle it. Bring it on. Determination combined with wisdom is of great power. And that's really where we want to go today in the lesson, is to show you how we get there. And we're going to learn from Jesus. Jesus will show us exactly how to provide that type of determination. Isaiah 57, the second servant song, it says, "I have set my face like a flint." We're going to talk about that type of heart. And so, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." What does a face of determination look like? So let's go to the ministry of Jesus. I really have enjoyed, for those who've been able to be a part of our reading that we've been doing at Wegmans, and that Saturday morning reading, that's been great going through the life of Christ. And there's a lot we learned about the character of Jesus in adversity. One of the things that Jesus came to do, he came to die. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Now that's a very interesting purpose. And that is one that he was determined to keep. As Isaiah, we haven't studied this servant song yet. That's our next one in line. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we're all healed." Jesus came for that purpose. And so, guess what happens? You are coming, as we studied this morning in our Bible class, you're not of the world. You are coming to show the love of God, but the world hates it. And so you're coming to eventually die, and you're going to live a life of ridicule. Can you do it? If you got determination, you can. If you understand the value and what this brings, that it can. You know, the face of Jesus is one that if we could have seen it, it would have changed us if we had the right heart, if we understood. You see, Jesus followed God's plans with confidence. Here's something about God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, Romans 8. Jesus, and the many verses you've heard me quote, and you'll still hear me quote those John verses. Jesus basically says, I am staying in the will of God, because guess what? You're going to win. Now, I have to admit, I've become a coward as a sports fan. Maybe I just don't like the anxiety of watching a game where I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just don't want to spend my energies on that. So I tape it. I keep track of the score. When I know the score, I might watch the game. And so I know that's silly. But I just don't want, you know, but here in life, man, we don't always know what's going to happen, except if you're a Christian. If we stay in the game plan, we know the outcome. One man in God is majority. You see, that's all we need to know. And that's powerful in developing determination and confidence. And again, we've read these verses. I think we read them this morning, where Jesus basically, here there they ask a question about where to get his knowledge. In John 7:15, we talked about this last week in the servant song. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And so the idea of authority was in the heart of Jesus' mind all the time. I want to be on God's team. I'm going to have success. All I have to do is stay within the glory and the plan of God. And so he basically said he would eventually be lifted up because of this attitude. He knew it was going to the cross. He knew that was part of the plan. In John 8:28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Where is God going to lead us? If Jesus was lifted up, how about us? If we stay in God's plan, we're going to have some people reject us. We're going to have family treat us as if we're crazy. We're going to have people that will walk away. Maybe some of you may eventually lose your job because you stand as a Christian. You may watch your child have to go through difficult things. But that's okay. We're staying with the plan. We're going to stay in the path of Jesus. And so again, there was his determination. This was the heart that he had. And one of the things, why would Jesus die? You know what Jesus could see right now? He could see us. He could see generations yet to be born if he doesn't come back in this generation. He could see the generations yet to be born in this world. And he was providing a path. One thing that Jesus knew about his death, he wanted a taste of the hell that we would experience if we didn't have him come. In John 8:21, it says, Jesus said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Hey, later on, the same thing, verse 21. You're going to die in your sin. Verse 24, excuse me. That you'll die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus did not want anyone to die in their sins. He understood what hell was. He understood what it meant to be lost. And he understood that him and him alone, obviously working with the Father and the Spirit, only the possible path could be provided for us. And that's determination. Parents, how far would you go to protect your children? Would you die for your children? I would. You would. You can imagine that path. I'm sure as parents we've had imagined those things. Sometimes we get these weird dreams and where a child is in grave danger, and I would gladly die for my children. And you understand what Jesus is doing here. He's dying for us. That is a cause that is worthy. That is a cause to be determined in. That is a cause not to be ashamed of. But let me show you some other faces of Jesus. Determination has to be maintained. Okay? You know how that is. Have you ever started on a diet? Oh, I'm so determined. Yes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm feeling good. And, you know, being able to keep that thing, man, that's another thing, that needing wisdom and a lot of other things. It's really easy to be determined for a little while, but how do you maintain that determination? One thing is loving others. Knowing God's plan and knowing what others need. You know, if you had seen Jesus, he had a face of compassion. I've been doing some of my own reading in the life of Christ, and there was one time where he took a blind man by the hand and led him out of town to a more private place to heal him. Could you imagine what it would have been like to have been that blind man and have Jesus hold your hand and take you out of town? Could you imagine in the healing process, you see compassion with Jesus? Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Could you imagine being the apostles and looking at Jesus and going, these people need God. They need help. They need teaching. And you see, that helps with determination, doesn't it? He knew what God's plan was, but then as he interacted with people, he loved them. And that made him more determined as he prepared to send out laborers. Remember the Zacchaeus. Here Zacchaeus thought everybody gave up on him. And there Jesus comes, I'm going to your house. What did Zacchaeus see in Jesus? He saw somebody that was willing to care about him. And here when he decided to follow God and repent and restore what he had taken to those that had been falsely, verse 9, notice Jesus' response. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he has also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. You want to be determined? Be involved with helping others. Be involved in each day and seeing the need. Being involved, there's nothing like somebody taking the stand and repenting. And it makes it worth it, doesn't it? It makes you want to do more. Jesus, with no question, he was so busy being involved with others because he had the determination, and this strengthened his determination. Jesus sought the best for everybody. Even the enemies that he rebuked, he wanted what was best for them. So many verses like this, Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. The healing of Jesus is something that was done not just to try to eliminate all poverty and hurting. It was done as a sign that he's the Son of God. But you know, when Jesus did heal people, he was compassionate. He would hear those people crying out for help. There were times you could see his response of compassion. I will have compassion. Jesus, if we had seen that face, we would have seen a determined face, and a determined face that when somebody asked, have mercy on us, he would give mercy. And so anyway, you could look at these verses yourself. You know one thing about Jesus' face? It would open hearts. If the heart was able to be open. Jesus had compassion of his enemies. Jesus had compassion that they literally wanted to stab him in the back and destroy his apostles and his following. He knew their heart, but he tried everything he could to open a heart. And you know, if you get your heart open and you sought to let Jesus heal you, he would heal you. Jesus, there were people who trusted him. And they wouldn't yield in that trust. What if Jesus came to Charlottesville? You see the same face. The same face of determination. The same face of compassion. You would see a loving determination. And I think that's significant. Now let's talk about the cross. You know, there are a lot of things that might happen to me in life. And there are a lot of things that I'd rather not know ahead of time. You know, if I knew something really, you know, painful and with adversity was coming ahead of time, that would be tough. Jesus, from the very beginning, knew he was going to die. He understood the cross. And for us, it would be easy to rationalize and run. Look at Luke 9. I love this verse. The opposition to Jesus was growing. They were sending people from Jerusalem to attack him and to try to catch him in traps. There had already been threats early in his ministry that people wanted to kill him. Now those threats were powerful. People were even afraid to speak at the feast because they knew if we even speak of him, we could get in trouble with the Pharisees. And Jesus had been staying out of Jerusalem, out of Galilee. And now the time came. In Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. You know what his apostles thought? They saw he's going to Jerusalem. Everybody else saw he's going to Jerusalem. And the apostles got, they knew, well, okay, what is this going to bring? Look at Thomas. Thomas basically said, okay, we're not going to keep you from going. In John 11:16, then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Here was determination to go to the cross. Now let's talk about this a little further. The garden. You know, over the years of studying the Garden of Gethsemane, it might be said that Jesus suffered maybe even more in the garden than on the cross. Now, I know physically that couldn't be the case, but I'm speaking of Jesus' prayer to the Father. There was something quite powerful about this prayer. There was something about the struggle of Jesus in his heart that is quite unique. Remember the prayer, if this cup pass from me. But notice the intensity. This is speaking of the garden. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, well, notice this, with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, there's a lot of things that didn't faze Jesus. People came at him, threatened him, did this and others. But here we have the Son of God in the flesh looking at the cross, that within hours he was going to be on that cross. And he had vehement cries and tears. I really believe that Jesus was able to stay on the cross because of Gethsemane. What Jesus needed in Gethsemane is that this is the plan and there's no exception. He needed to get out any of the issues in his heart of struggles with this and have a full determination to when he faced the event itself. And how bad his agony was, he asked three times. But this verse is one I've come to think about more, and as I've studied this verse more, Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I believe he literally sweated blood. It's a rare occasion for that to happen. Somebody under great stress. But Jesus even talked about he was sorrowful even unto death. I believe the degree of suffering that he was experiencing, knowing what was happening, knowing during this prayer that he could have died. This was so extreme. And what we find here is that he didn't die, obviously. This wasn't. But why did he go through this? I keep going back to us. This is how bad hell is. Jesus did not want us to go to hell. And this was something that was extraordinarily dreadful. Do you know how determined Jesus had to be on the cross? You know how determined? Could you imagine going through this agony for 6 hours and not one time could you say, get me down? All it would take was a split second. Lord, get me down. And he goes, and the angels come and it's over. How do you have the determination to go through this kind of suffering for 6 hours and not one time ask to come down? Whoa. There is what we see the power of Gethsemane in his preparation. He came out of this garden with a determination that never wavered. And the face that came out of that garden was a most, most powerful face. Here he was determined at a greater level than when he came in. Let's talk about this. Who got to see the face? Think about this. Out of the garden. He comes out of the garden and then Judas and his group comes up to him. And look at John 18. They get to see this face. It says, then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Who are you seeking?" Here they had that torch, and here comes the face of Jesus. "Are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to him, "I am he." And you know what happens? It says that Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Could you imagine? They're coming with the torches. This man worked miracles. This man could be from God. Everyone by this time had heard of the power of God working through him, and they're thinking, what may happen to us? And here they see this face. This face was not fearful. This face did not waver. Instead of having to chase Jesus down like a scared rabbit, Jesus walks right up to them, and they were not expecting it. "Who do you seek?" And notice, we keep reading. Jesus answered, "I've told you that I'm he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." Whoa, the confidence here. And it unsettled these evil people. But you know another thing that happened here? Judas saw something. And he saw hurt. "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" We already in our Bible reading talked about the Last Supper, of the hurt of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. And Judas unfortunately had hardened his heart to a point that he wasn't going to be moved, but somebody would have seen this. And I'm going to tell you what, later he moved him to kill himself. I have no doubt this face and these words, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" maybe was in his mind when he chose to hang himself. But he didn't let this move him to repentance. Guess who else saw the face of Jesus? After Peter ran like a scalded dog, he starts following Jesus from afar. "Remember, I'll never deny you." And what does he do? He denies him three times. Peter's out in the courtyard of this trial comes, and they're now going to take Jesus to another location. And here's Peter there, and as Jesus walks by, Jesus looks at him. He saw the face of Jesus. Look at Luke 22:61. "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." You know, like Judas would have had a great deal of guilt. Could you imagine Peter? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, he didn't kill himself. And he was able to come back to the Lord. If Judas had not killed himself, Judas could have been restored. But again, that's another story. And so the face of Jesus was impacting people as we're getting to the cross, even before the cross. Oh, if we could see the face of Jesus. And we know, brethren, if we fall away, if we see the face of Jesus, Jesus says, "Come back. Come back. You do not have to let a failure end you. There's a way back." And Peter is going to find that way back. Now let's talk about the cross. I've said this many times. If you had walked up to the cross that day and was a total stranger, you could have known very shortly what was going on. Here the religious leaders, who's supposed to be about the compassion of God, were blaspheming a man that is dying, has been beaten to a pulp. What kind of person would do that today? And you'd have his mother there watching and hear these people laughing at him, mocking him. You would have seen in their actions, but Jesus' response to the cross, with all of that mocking, with all of that evil, with the pain of the few disciples that were there watching this event, you know the verse, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Could you imagine? Here Jesus is in control. These two thieves, they had been blaspheming and screaming and cursing. And here's Jesus in control. And here's Jesus looking at these evil people. "Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." You would have learned very quickly who the innocent was and who the guilty. And it wasn't the guilty one on the cross. But then, Jesus, every word that he spoke on the cross was under control. Every word that he spoke showed his connection to God. And then his last words, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." Is that how people die today? Okay, it's time to die. I'm pressing the button and I'm dying. You know, here are people watching this. This man was in total control. He was compassionate. And there's people who've seen people die on the cross before, the centurion. Notice this centurion. He had never, ever seen a face like this on the cross. And so when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. But all of his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at this distance watching these things. If you had come to the cross, you would have witnessed a face that would have been different from anything you saw. When you see somebody in great suffering, you're going to see the core of that person. And this is very, very interesting as we consider the cross itself. You can see the meaning, the purpose, that why Jesus came. You know what he tells us, brethren? We've got to go to the cross. The cross of repentance, the cross of turning from our own will. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That's Luke 9:23. And we read about Hebrews 12 as well, to how we can endure the race that is before us. A couple of points and then the lesson will be yours. We go back to our servant song that we studied last week. How do you find determination? Involvement with others helps, but involvement with the Word of God is the critical thing. Daily hearing, daily being renewed, having the ear of the Lord that we talked about. He awakens he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And so, as we see about the suffering, and we see about the face of flint in verse 7, this all came from daily listening. If you are not involved in your own personal study, if you are not involved in your own personal Bible reading, not because some kind of work you got to do, you need to learn how to do this to find strength. We'll find that listening is risky, but listening will bless us as Jesus listened throughout his life. God will never fail us. He will never fail. And when I know that, that's going to help me so much when I see His holy, unchanging love. I want to move to the last slide now, and it's going to talk about us. And so let me move along some of these points we made already in the earlier lesson. So now I want to talk in the last section about us today. I know we talk about Jesus as our example. That's a perfect example. But you know one thing I found as I travel around this country? I'll go to a church I've never been to. I'll meet people that I've never known. And I find spiritual people, and it's like I've known them all my life. There's something about the one who really is listening and following the Lord. There's something about their face, their manners, their kindness, their involvement. It's a beautiful thing. Did you know that, I know this has got to be, I laugh at this. It's a very serious thing. But you know, the Sanhedrin literally thought they got rid of Jesus. They really thought, "It's over. We killed him. It's over." And the next thing they know, they start finding many Jesuses. They start having Jesuses come out of the woodwork. Let me show you what I mean. As the apostles were facing the same group that had put Jesus to death, they saw that face again. They've seen this before, like this face they could never forget. Here's a bunch of them coming at them now. And here Peter stands with them cheek to cheek, jawbone to jawbone, looking them in the eye. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved." In verse 13, look at this. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, their minds go back. "We've seen this before." And perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. So, boy, you had one face like a flint and now suddenly they're coming out of the woodwork. You can threaten them, you can beat them, and he says, hey, you can do this, but we're going to keep speaking what we've seen and heard. Peter would go back and they would pray, not to end the threatenings, but for God to take care of it. Wow. Imitating the face of Jesus. That's us, brethren. That's where we want to go. Determination based on Scripture, not arrogance and stubbornness. And you see, when we finally get it, when we understand the nature of this life, the temporary nature, we understand heaven, we understand hell as well. Notice how we live. 2 Corinthians 5:13. For we are beside ourselves. In other words, people go, you're crazy. What are you doing? Why are you spending your time on this? Why aren't you interested in this? Oh, you're beside yourself. Well, let's notice why we're beside ourselves. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. There is the heart of the determined disciple. We know we're going to win. We know why we're doing what we're doing. We understand the outcome. We know the love of God. What God has done for us, it changes everything. Later on in the same chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Determined, energetic, purposeful, content, merciful. Every day is a blessing to serve the one who saved us. And so this is about knowing God. It's about listening. It's about becoming dead and living again. It's all about, I love Romans 8:18. I remember as a teenager reading the Bible for the first time on my own, coming around to Romans 8:18. I'll never forget this verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared and the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, when we understand what life is and what heaven's like, this suffering is nothing. You take a football team, you take a team that goes through a difficult practice and hurting, they go through a difficult game, they know they've got this goal and they achieve the goal. The suffering seems as nothing when you achieve the goal. And here, as a Christian, the sacrifice that I go through now is going to be nothing compared to heaven. I'm going to give you one more verse and then we'll draw a conclusion. I want to go to that Ezekiel verse one more time and look at this. Another mention of somebody having a head of flint. Now, in this Ezekiel's case, it's a tough case. Ezekiel didn't preach the Word of God. He's going to preach to people who never repent. But Ezekiel, you know, we read about him today. He's a great man of God. But here's what it means to have a face of flint. You will be opposed. You know who's likely to oppose you? Your own family. I'm speaking broadly. The people that care, that you're closest to, oftentimes if they're not going to serve the Lord, they're going to give you trouble. Ezekiel 3:7. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. There's an old cartoon I can remember when it first came out in the 60s, the Flintstones. And the word flint is in there, but I sometimes think what we need is flint heads. We need more flint heads in the church. And I'm talking about compassionate people who are listening and acting on principle. I'm not talking about stubborn people like rhinoceroses that just go run over everything and not care about anything. We're talking about somebody that is found in God's purpose. Let that be us. I'll never forget in high school, I had a friend that was into drugs. He was into alcohol, but particularly drugs. And I was his friend. And I was probably unwise having him as my friend, but at that time I had just become a Christian. But I'll never forget him trying to get me to do drugs. I wouldn't do it. And he just thought I was stubborn. But guess what he later did? He later became a Christian. He saw that I had a determination and a purpose, and I think that opened his heart to later study of God's Word and the evidences of the resurrection of Christ. And I'll talk to you about him in later lessons about that. But it's quite interesting. When we are determined, the world will see it, and there will be some people that will say, I want what you have. A life of purpose. A life of meaning. A life where you're not afraid to give things up because you've got something great. That, my brethren, will be our most powerful tool in evangelism, is if we can have the face of Jesus. Okay, I think I've covered it this morning. I pray that this has been understandable. I think it really ties into our servant song so well, and I think it makes a good application for us. I pray that each of us, in coming together, you know why we come together? To strengthen one another, to exhort one another, as often as we see the day approaching. And I hope that this effort this morning will have given us a greater determination. If you're not a Christian, we always have an extending of an invitation. We know everyone here today. But there will be others who could see through the internet, maybe audio. I always let the invitation be, let me challenge my heart and make me more determined to do what is right. If there's something I need to do to be right with God, we need to take care of that. If you've never become a Christian, we'd love to take the fulfillment of Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. We'd love to take you in faith and repentance to you be baptized into Christ, if we could assist you in any way. Invitation extended as we stand and sing.